That's good. I think it's a song. It's Learning Thomas. I think that's more time than we have tonight. Bruce, what is today? Yes. On Tuesday, we had our meeting, our worship committee meeting, and Bruce had a video that he wanted to show us. And so I was already wary about the video, as to the contents. And Bruce, what was the name of that video?
Lyena's
Prayer. Lyena's?
Mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And in that video, you know, it starts off, and it's this mother's prayer about her family, and she's in Syria, and she's a Christian. And it kind of opens up with the situation that's been happening in Syria. I think we're all kind of familiar. We've all been watching the news, been scared because of the news. And it's one of the reasons why I no longer watch the news. And it's kind of going through their family's situation. And it's about this prayer that she has for her kids. And in it, she's talking about, she's preparing her kids for martyrdom. She's preparing her kids for people that will enter into her home and murder her husband, murder their father, and quite possibly could kill them. And I've watched many similar videos of a persecuted church all over the world. And being a part of the Sunset Church, we've had many missionaries come back from places like Egypt, places like West Africa, and different Muslim-dominated places. And they talk about persecution. And what's amazing about seeing first those videos is it's extremely difficult for us to relate to that type of a church. I mean, it's extremely difficult for me to relate to that type of a situation. At first, when I even watch those, I kind of almost feel like they're staged, right? I mean, this can't possibly be real. There can't possibly be a place on this planet in 2014 where people can't freely worship God. And yet, the video keeps getting more and more graphic as this mother is talking to her children about the consequences of their faith. In America, it's difficult for us to comprehend what it would be to be persecuted, to be truly persecuted. I mean, even growing up, I remember the concept of persecution and people talking about it. And reality, the closest we will ever become, we will ever come to persecuted is by people making us feel uncomfortable when we ask them about Jesus. None of us will ever be threatened, hopefully. None of us have ever been threatened. I mean, the most difficult situation we've ever had is, people making fun of us. I remember in Hawaii when Eli was talking to us about door knocking. It was the very first time I've ever went door knocking. And I thought we would just be offending everybody. We would be knocking the door. They would open up, see us, and call us all sorts of names and slam the door in our face and want to have nothing to do with us. And I remember Eli telling me at that time, he's saying, okay, good. If that's the worst thing that can possibly happen to you, then that's a good day. That would be it. And we did. We went door knocking. We had several doors slammed in our face, and that was the closest I ever got to being persecuted. And I remember coming back thinking, I am a real-life Christian. Somebody slammed their door in my face. And I was this close to getting mad, that close. But when we see and read stories about Christians that are suffering, I wonder what that'd be like. You know, even on this side, I can't help but be jealous. Jealous of the church's passion and drive. And when I look back at the New Testament church and all of the suffering that it went through, and I can't help but be jealous over its achievements. That the New Testament church, under the persecution of the Roman government, look at what it was able to achieve. How it spread across the world. See, I think we're very comfortable. We're very knowledgeable about what a comfortable Christian looks like. I am. I know what a comfortable Christian looks like because I am a comfortable Christian. I wake up every morning and I come to work and I work at a church. Every Sunday, I come to church. I take communion with the rest of you loving people. And I can't help but be comfortable. I come here free to worship and sing songs. And I catch myself getting mad at the smallest, littlest things about church. See, I want to know, what does a Christian living amongst chaos, living amid chaos, what does that Christian look like? What is a Christian who is suffering? I want to know what that picture is. And I love the gospel, or I love the book of Joshua. I think Joshua presents for me an incredible picture of what a disciple of Christ looks like, living in just complete chaos, everything going wrong, everything being shifted and everything changing. And I love the picture that Joshua gives us. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Joshua chapter 1. That's right, we're going to the Old Testament. See, Joshua was given every chance to change. You know, he grew up in Egypt under slavery. I mean, he grew up and he was able to see all the things that God was able to do through Moses. This man lived amongst the Israelite nation as they were traveling in the wilderness, and he was able to see everybody around him doubt God. And not only doubt God, but also rebel against God. And Joshua was given every chance to rebel against God, but he did not. And what I find so amazing is by this time that we've found Joshua, this man has seen everything. This man has seen the seas parted. He has seen rivers dried up. He has seen God perform time and time and time again. And then finally, he sees the death of his mentor. Could you imagine living with someone for 40 years, this mentor, this father figure, and you've seen this man channel the powers of God, and then he fails once? Well, technically, he failed many times, but God catches him once. He sees Moses come up to a rock, and he knows that God told Moses, I want you to speak to it, but instead, Moses strikes the rock in order for water to come out of it, and because of that, God looks at Moses and says, because of that piece of rebellion, because you did not do what I asked, you will never see the promised land. You will not enter into the promised land. And Joshua has witnessed all of this. And then Moses dies. And so this is where we find Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all its people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down to the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Have you ever received a ministry? Have you ever taken over a ministry or maybe a job at work where, you know, you're replacing somebody that you knew pretty well, and the first thing they tell you is, be careful what's behind that door. All right, there's a crossbow under the cabinet on the desk, but be careful what's behind the door. Have you ever received a job or maybe a ministry where someone comes up to you and says, this is a great job, this is fantastic, but be careful, there's one kid. He's a demon. He is a rough little kid. I remember at CME, one of the first classes outside of the youth class I got to teach was, they were preschoolers. And I was replacing this sweet old lady, and many churches have this, you just have this sweet old lady who's been teaching this preschool class since the beginning of time, since the church was established. They've been doing it for tens of years. And so I was to replace this teacher. And so she's telling me all of these things. She's like, okay, this is where I keep, you know, the books. This is where I keep the crayons. This is where I keep the Play-Doh. There's a lot of Play-Doh. And I'm thinking, sweet, I'm gonna nail this job. This would be a great class. I'm going to be able to do tons of stuff with these kids. And then she looks at me and goes, there's one child. His name is Bo. Watch out for him. When he comes, he is a tornado of destruction. And I can see in her eyes the fear and trembling that was Bo. And I had no idea. I mean, I had never taught this class. I'd only been at CME for maybe a month. And I remember opening the class door and these kids coming in, and I knew instantly who Bo was. Instantly. He was a biter. Oh, this kid was, he was more than a tornado of destruction. When God hands Joshua this job and says, all right, you've seen Moses do this, and it may have looked easy when Moses was doing this job, but I want you to be strong, and I want you to be courageous. By the way, everything that you see, I've already given to you. Remember, be strong and very courageous. What is going through your head when God has to repeat himself twice and to say, be strong and courageous? But don't worry, I'm going to be with you. But be strong and courageous. I would be freaking out. Why would I need to be strong? Why do I need to be more courageous than I already am? I mean, God has already told Joshua, I have given you guys everything. And remember, Joshua has seen God perform time and time again. And I have to imagine that as Joshua is listening to God, he's thinking about all the times where Israel was stuck in a tight place. And at the last minute, God showed up. I think of when the Israelite nation is trapped by the Red Sea, and they're trapped against it, and then you see the Egyptian army coming at them. And I love the movie, The Prince of Egypt. Everyone needs to see that. It's absolutely incredible. And I have this media-centered brain, so every time I think of the story in the Old Testament, I have to assert a movie in to describe this. And I see the entire nation of Israel standing there. And then when you look up, you see the Egyptian army, and it's ready, and you know they want to kill you. And as everybody looks to Moses, he steps out in the Red Sea, and God does the impossible and saves them. They're out in the wilderness, and everyone seems to be dying of thirst, and everyone is cursing Moses. Everyone is cursing God. They're saying, why couldn't we just go to Egypt? At least there we had cucumbers. We had garlic. For some reason, they loved garlic. They had, at least we could have died comfortably. We should have gone back to slavery. Then they finally come across these pools, and they're all tainted, and they're all poisoned. And again, they are doubting more and more. And they see Moses cut down a couple of trees, lays the palms in the pools, and cleanses them. And they're able to drink. Multiple occasions, God has come to them to save them. He has come to them to protect them. They have seen bread fall from heaven, and yet they have constantly doubted. And Joshua gets this one job from God. Don't even worry. Everything I've told you to do, I've already provided for you. All you have to be is strong and courageous. So I have to ask, what is there to be afraid of? And you can answer if you want. What is there to be afraid of? Especially in Joshua's shoes, when you know God has provided for you over and over again. And I really think I can ask you right now, being Christians in 2014, having you, hopefully you have seen God show up time and time again. What is there to be afraid of? Fear of people. Man, people can do very strange things. What is there to be afraid of? Ooh. Ray? I was hoping we'd at least have a couple of answers before you got the right one. Yes, I actually have it, getting something wrong. Moses has done many things that attracted the wrath of God. Many times has Moses angered God, but never did God come to him until he smacked the rock that he actually punished him as severely. Yeah, getting something wrong. Are you afraid of getting something wrong? Are you afraid of doing that one wrong thing? What are you afraid of? I know we all have fear. I'm afraid of people. It's the silliest fear I have. I'm a minister. My job is people. I'm afraid of people. When I go to the mall and I see people in situations, I clam up. I'm afraid of how they'll think of me. I remember when I first decided to go into ministry, and I decided to go into Sunset. And so I worked at a hardware store, and so people were asking me, so Joe, what are you going to do with your life? And I remember being really confused. Should I tell them I'm going into ministry? What will they think of me if I tell them I'm going into ministry? I worked with a lot of crazy, horrible people. What are they going to do to me if they find out I want to serve God? What are you afraid of? Why do you need courage? God has given you everything. Why do you need courage? God could have come down to Joshua and had given him anything. He could have told him anything. But for some reason, God comes down to Joshua and says, you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. Not just courageous, you need to be very courageous. Why be courageous when God has specifically said, everything you do, I've already handed to you? I wrote to take the next step. Were you going
to
say it? Yeah. Every year when we do work campaigns, I always love bringing congregations, bringing youth groups that I've worked with previously into congregations that we've just started working with, and we always involve the youth. And there are always two or three super quiet, timid youth kids. All right? I mean, they don't talk at all. I'm looking at one of them right now in the back. And they don't talk. And you don't even want to draw attention to them because that's just how shy they are. But the one challenge that we put on everybody is that every single person talks when they go to a door. Every single person knocks on a door and you have to start the conversation. And it is the most anxious time of your life. If you've ever done that, going to somebody random stranger's door for the pure reason of serving that individual. When we go door knocking, and I want to remind everybody, when our youth group goes door knocking, we ask just if they need help. We don't even mention Jesus. We don't mention church. We go up there. We want to serve them as disciples of Christ. And as simple as that is, every year we do this, somebody comes up and says, I don't think I can do this. I just don't think we can get up and serve. And I've always been blown away by the courage I've seen in youth, that I've seen in young adults, going up to strangers' doors and serving them just because they're disciples of Christ. Joshua's been given this job. Nothing less than continuing in the path of his mentor, the one whom God just killed on a mountain. And he says, be strong. Be strong. You might get things wrong. Be strong. Be courageous, because you're going to need that courage to take the next step. Because Joshua is expected to lead these people into the promised land, to do what Moses took 40 years and couldn't continue. Now I want to skip to the very end. I want to see the fulfillment of this request by God to be strong and courageous. So in Joshua, turn over all the way to the end of chapter 24. And we're going to read in verse 14. At the very beginning of 24, you know, God or Joshua gets the chance to address the nation just like Moses did. And this is many years into the future. All right, Joshua has, they've gone into the promised land, they have conquered everything, there's been many failures, many successes, but Joshua gets the same chance Moses did. And so this is Moses, older and wiser, and he has seen God, and he's had to be strong, and he has had to be courageous. And so this is the fulfillment of that verse. And we're going to start in verse 14 of chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in certainty and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love this choice he gives him. That Joshua gives the nation of Israel. I wish we were as free with this choice as Joshua was. He tells them and he hands it over into their hands. He says, this is what you have to decide. Will you choose God or will you rebel just like your fathers did? It is up to you. And he gives it to them. He doesn't force the choice upon them. He doesn't go to Israel and says, you will follow God. I will make you sign this decree, and God will punish you for it if you were to transgress against it. But he doesn't do that. He gives them this choice, and he says, what will you do? Will you be like your fathers? But I want you to know, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. See, you have a decision, and you will suffer the consequences for making that decision. Us here in 2014, whether we be in Assyria, America, anywhere, at any time, we have the same decision to make. Who will you serve? Will you serve God, or will you serve this world? Which one will it be? Every decision comes down to this. Will you serve God, or will you serve this world? And we will suffer the consequences of that choice, whichever it be. So when Joshua says, for me and my family, we will choose God, because we know what the consequences of that decision is. Remember, this is Joshua. This is the one out of two people who have made it all the way from Egypt. He has seen everything, and he's at the end of this saying, I know the consequences of this decision, and I choose God. You all know the consequences of the decision to follow the world and what that looks like. This world amounts to nothing. This world is chaos. This world is crazy. So which one will it be? Which one will you choose? In class this morning, we're going through the book of Revelation, and we're talking about, we're at the very end of Revelation, and so we're addressing all of the saints that are in heaven, and they're praising God, and all of this crazy stuff has happened. And if you've ever read Revelation, you're familiar with the imagery. You're familiar with the prophetic language. And he uses the plagues, the bowls, the trumpets, the seals. And a lot of chaos has happened, and a lot of death has happened. And at the very end of this, we get this amazing picture into the throne room of God. And they are doing the one thing that I wouldn't think would come first to mind, which is they are praising God. You're saying, hallelujah, God, you are in control. But wait a minute, you've just witnessed death and destruction and persecution. Remember that the church is viewed in heaven, meaning that they have already been martyred, they have already been killed, and they're praising God. How does a Christian deal with a God that is in control, that is loving and compassionate, yet a world that is full of suffering and chaos and sin? How do those two things come together? How do they come together in your life? Because when God gives us this choice, will you choose to follow me, or will you choose to follow this world? He knows the world that we live in. He knows the sin and the chaos and the death and the genocide and everything bad that is happening. But he still requires us to make a choice. God or this world? See, I love the freedom that God gives us. I love this choice that he hands to us. But I can tell you one thing, that if we choose to follow God, it will require two things. And I'll let you guess what they are. Strength and courage. When we choose to follow God, it will not be easy. It will not be simple. And it will require our lives. But he gives us the strength to follow. And he gives us the courage to take the next step. He gives us the grace that washes over our sins so that we can continue walking towards God. So my challenge to you tonight is to be strong and courageous. So if you have any needs tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.